Hi, welcome to the program. How are you? What's your name? Really? Daniel, that's your name? Would you like to have a little sandwich or a cookie, Daniel? We're going to do some exercises before the show begins, because mentally you need to do exercises before you listen to this. It's quite involving and exhaustive. So you ready to do some exercises, some mental exercises? Are you finished with your cookie, Daniel?
Step back. So our circle's a little bit bigger and you have some more room. Had enough, have you? Okay, Daniel. Just put it on the tray and then come and join us.
Yeah.
Feet apart, everybody. Down to your toes we go. And look up into the sky. Maybe we'll see some clouds
Ooh,
today.
No.
Was it raining at your house this morning?
Yeah.
Let's see if we can chase the rain away then.
Okay.
Ready, please, Mr. Music. Stretch up. Clouds over there, I think. A few black ones over there.
I see them.
Bend and stretch right up.
Yeah, feels good.
Bend and stretch. Reach for the stars. There goes Jupiter. Here comes Mars.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Here you go.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hi, Daniel. I get confused between Daniel and Danielle. Those names are too close, and yet they're two different sexes. Stop it. Stop it. It's like the name Chris. I don't know if that's a man or a woman. Chris, it could be either. You're confusing me. Well, I hope you're comfortable, because this could be pretty intense. I'm serious. I was never in marching band, and I'm glad. I wouldn't have minded being in a band in school. But marching? Why would I want to walk around while I'm playing music? That sounds silly. Welcome to the program. I do have an interesting show on tap for you today. Sounds like a beer, but it's not on tap. Can be used for other expressions as well besides drinking beer. So I got a good one here, so to speak. Thanks for being here. Let me introduce some of the people that make this show possible. There's him over there and her over there in the corner. The background music that you hear, Jason Shaw, man, yeah. This is his music, and he does it for this show. Thank you, Jason. And then also, oh my God, John Shanahan, he announces the show, does the comedy commercials and all the comedy stuff. He's a brilliant comedy writer, and he also, that's about all. And then there's Nicole Reed. Oh my God. She's that British babe that you hear at the beginning of the program. She also books many of our national interviews that we do here on this program. Nicole is a stand-up individual. Sometimes she'll actually stand up. It's pretty cool. And then there's me, but I don't count. And then there's you. You really do count. You really do. Romper room, man. I don't know how old you are. But if you're old enough, there was a show on television called Romper Room, and it was a local regionalized show. Every major city had its own version of Romper Room. There would be some kind of lady whose skirt went down to her ankles, and she would stand in front of a classroom of little kids. It was a television show, and she would play little games with the kids on television. And it was like going to school, but you didn't have to go. And I went to kindergarten. Did you go to kindergarten? I think most of us did. I think it's punishable by death if you don't go. I think you have to go to kindergarten, don't you? And all I remember doing in kindergarten was sitting on the floor and listening to this lady, this romper roomish kind of lady, and she would just have us say the alphabet and count up to 10, and then I'd go home. I don't remember kindergarten too well. It was quite a period of time ago. I do remember marching around things. I was constantly marching. I think that's what kindergarten is. I think that's the Latin word for marching, because that's all we did. We would just march around the classroom, around the desks, and I learned how to march, and I got to tell you something. I've never really used that skill ever. I suppose if you go into the armed services, there's plenty of marching there. Maybe it prepares you for that. But I don't really march. I don't march at all. I know it's the name of a month. That's about as close to that activity as I get at all. I don't really move much. Many of the experts on this program say that the key to a healthy life is to keep moving. That's also so they can't catch you. I don't move that much. I have to be coerced to move. Like there has to be a sandwich somewhere for me to go get it. I don't move that much. I'll go from place to place if there's a reason. I will go to the bathroom when I need to. That's sometimes a good 10, 20 feet away. Other than that, I tend not to move anywhere. Everything is kind of brought to me by my servants in my gigantic castle with the moat and the alligators in it. Oh, man, I'm so glad I'm not that rich. I wouldn't want moats and castles and crap. That's awful. I think I told you this a few days ago. Speaking of moats and castles and crap, there's a show called Game of Thrones or something like that. I've never watched it in my life, and all I hear now are people talking about it. I guess it's in its final season, and I've never seen it because my impression of it is that it didn't take place in this time period. So therefore, what the hell do I care? This apparently took place when there were dragons and castles and crap. I wasn't alive then that I recall. So I don't care. I mean, I don't know why I would care. So I've never watched it, but everybody's talking about it everywhere I go. Are you excited about the Game of Thrones? It's the final season of Game of Thrones. I feel like I've missed out on something. So I say to them, should I binge watch it? How many seasons are there that I must binge watch to catch up to the recent present episode? And they say 72 years. There's 72 seasons. I can't possibly do that. Well, what if I like watch last season? Can I just do that and then figure out what's there? No. Oh my God, no, you asshole. How can you say something like that? You have to watch it from the very beginning. You can't. So much happens. You can't just pick it up like one or two seasons ago and think you know what's going. No, you can't do that. What are you, stupid? What are you, crazy? Well, what am I supposed to do then? I can't watch 72 years of this show. Oh, what you've missed. Oh, King slays the dragon, and the dragon, they find out the dragon is the king's mother, and they're having sex, and Jonathan, the ogre, comes over and bites another ogre, and they have children, and which is the sister of the brother of the uncle who's taking over the kingdom of the father of the uncle's mother's sister's brother. Having twins, then the evil twin takes over the good twin, and they have five children, and two of them are married already, and six of them have no teeth. And then the dragon comes and eats the middle child, but leaves the fifth one from the left with no shoes. And then they have babies on top of the kitchen counter in the castle, where they make out with the sister's brother's in-law's brother's sister's father. How can you possibly just pick that up from one season ago? Well, I guess you're right. There's no point, is there? And that's it. I've been hearing about Game of Thrones for years, but every time I try to watch it, people tell me, you missed it. You can't watch it now. You have to go back to the beginning, when there was just one sister's brother's mother's sister's uncle's second cousin to the father of the mother. And then the dragon has two children, Dragon Bobby and Dragon Daniel, or Danielle, I'm not sure which it was. Can't follow it, not going to do it. So now when I hear anybody talking about Game of Thrones, I just leave the room. I go, hey, I can't, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I'm done. I feel like I'm standing in a clubhouse and I'm not a club member. I just can't do it. Over the weekend on Sunday, I went to a theater in Boston, and the play was The Twelfth Night. And it was horrible. I just, half the audience was sleeping. You know, a play is a little bit boring when you look up and you look at the audience and half of them are sleeping. That's not a good indication. And yet this theater troupe thinks that they're fantastic. And if they just took a look, they'd say, well, wait a minute. Why are we even doing this? People are sleeping. What the hell's going on? It's called The Twelfth Night. I don't know what happened to the other 11 ones, but they focus on the 12th one, and I guess they're figuring people can't count that high and it'll come to the show by mistake. It's very boring. It's a show by Shakespeare. Well, it was written by Shakespeare. I don't know if it was a show. It was a play by Shakespeare. And William, may I call you Bill? I don't understand. Why are you talking like that? They have this British accent, but in doing so, they use words that make no sense. And it just puts people to sleep because, again, they feel like, I don't know what you're talking about. What am I even listening to? And the plot of the play is as convoluted as Game of Thrones. It's always someone's sister's brother fucking another family member, usually the second cousin of the father's in-law. And then one is forbidden to do the other thing that the other one forbade in the forbidding process. Instead of saying, hey, who's there? They go through this whole, like, who goes forth in my castle, prancing upon my field of life, not knowing the ramifications of those that hinder wander? Why dost thou do what doth does? How can death be so cruel but to manifest itself in popular modems that reveal nothing but the arcane released of lished in the blecken and smitten and the heighten? How doth do that? Doth do that than thy doth? What hawketh as doth approach? How doth know that no man shall ever become what not do do? I, you, and me shall never forth intertwine in any consequence of life. How doth know in the intricacies of mine time that no man shall wander beyond life itself, with no inclination to redeem one's pop. I don't know what the hell they said. I don't know what they're talking about. But this goes on for 2.5 hours. I couldn't. I started falling asleep myself. And my dreams consisted of not being there. What are you dreaming about, Ron? Anything but being here. That's, I'm dreaming that I'm somewhere else. Shakespeare, man. Say what's on your mind and get it over with. Stop with the doth and the hearken crap. My gosh. Did people back then really speak like that? I doubt it greatly. I doubt it. Were there profanities? And by the way, Game of Thrones and all you people, dragons didn't really exist. There were no human beings on the planet when dinosaurs were around. They never met. They didn't exist at the same time. Just so you know, I learned that in kindergarten from the romper room teacher while I was marching around a desk. It just wasn't like that. So I try to live in the real world, in the world of reality. But this world sucks too. Because there's like crazy president people and one third of the country has just gone nuts apparently. And people in England, they're Brexit and they're Frexit and they're Schmexit and everybody's economy is upside down and we're giving power to the countries that used to try to destroy us. It's just like, wow, man. You people are really not knowing what's going on here. And it all started when fried pickles got on the menu. I swear that's when this all started. Everything was fine. Everything was copacetic. And then one day, some restaurant chef said, I'll take a pickle and I'll fry it and I'll put it on the appetizer menu. And from that day on, man, the country started going downhill. Now, I know one has nothing to do with the other, but the coincidence is just too strong here. I don't know, man. I'm telling you, something's wrong somewhere. Something's wrong really big time. You don't believe me? Well, don't believe me either.
Here on the Ron Van Dam Show, our policy is anything goes.
Do not twist my nipples.
Okay, almost anything goes. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Podcast.
I know you are. I have a very interesting guest today. It's kind of an in-depth interview. I like to dig my claws deep into these interviews sometimes and get my body dirty. And that's what I'm doing today. So, yeah, we're going to do that. But first, we got a commercial break to take. You know, someone's got to pay for this.
Do you know that there is one item that can not only increase your home's beauty, but its value? That would be placemats. Hello, I'm George Karanapikopoulos, owner of George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse, your one-stop for all your placemat needs. We have a placemat for every room of your house. That's right, placemats are not just for the dining room anymore. Anywhere you might make a spill, or maybe where you eat, like in front of the TV, I do it all the time like you. You want a placemat. We have fancy placemats, like in bamboo or teak. That's right, teak. Nice plastic laminate ones for no stains, even blue. We can custom make your placemats in as little as 2 weeks. Come to our showroom at the intersection of Route 27 and the Holbrook Turnpike. You're going to like what you see. Your placemat is waiting for you at George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse.
Michael B. joins us now. He's the author of the new book, Darwin Devolves, the new science about DNA that challenges evolution. And this is interesting. DNA is an amazing thing. I didn't even know what it was 10 years ago. How did this become such a development?
Well, it turns out that new machines have been developed by engineers and scientists mm-hmm. that are able to sequence DNA. You know, of course, DNA is the ladder thing, and the rungs are chemicals. You can call them letters, mm-hmm. A, T, G, and C. And the sequence of all those letters, you know, pretty much dictates all of the genes Amazing. And the proteins that they code for. And so it's kind of like computers. You know, back in the day, back in the 50s, computers were big and clunky and expensive, and machines to sequence DNA were developed just in the 80s, but they were big and clunky too. But in just the past 10, 20 years, they've become like modern computers, you know, small and efficient and cheap. So now everybody's heard of the Human Genome Project, mm-hmm. Where the human genome, 3 billion nucleotides of the 3 billion letters, was sequenced. But heck, now we've got, you know, dogs and cats and yeah. polar bears and giraffes and rice and fish and birds and pretty much, you know, a whole range of different stuff. And yeah. the kicker is that, for Darwin's theory, for evolution, is that, you know, mutations, which are kind of the fodder for Darwin's idea of right. evolution by natural selection, they're changes in DNA. They're changes at the molecular level. And it's only been in the past 10 to 20 years or so that people have been able to track down exactly what those mutations were that were helping some species to improve something or other, to adapt to their environment. And the upshot of my new book, Darwin Devolves, is that quite unexpectedly, it's turned out that the majority of those, a great majority of the ones that help, the mutations that help, are actually ones that break or degrade pre-existing genes that were already there. They're not making something new on they're rather taking things that were there and right. pretty much throwing them away.
So what we're saying is that everything that is came from something else.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the idea of common descent. Right. Yeah, everything that's alive today descended from something in the in the misty past.
Right.
And that idea was floating even before Darwin. Mm. And that's kind of a neutral idea of evolution. It doesn't say how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been some teleological directed process. But Darwin's claim to fame was not so much evolution itself, which was kind of in the air before he started, but he proposed a mechanism which purportedly could explain this process without any mind or any, you know, God or any teleological goal-directing force behind it. It just random, just happens. That was his big contribution. And it turns out, although the evidence is good for common descent, that is that, you know, everything alive today came from something in the past, mm-hmm. it doesn't look like a random process could do it, to
right.
say the least.
Right. Yeah. So this kind of, I know, having read your background, that this makes Darwinism solid. In other words, it doesn't refute anything to any great extent, the discovery of DNA.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, it it certainly says that Darwinism can do important stuff. It does do important stuff, but it does it mostly by breaking things that were already there.
By evolving, right, yeah.
Yeah, and that's important. It can be medically very important. For example, there are folks who live in areas of the world that get malaria, and of course that's a deadly disease, and they have mutations that have built up over the centuries that help them resist malaria. Turns out they're mostly broken genes, except for the sickle cell mutation, which is itself not too hot. So it helps them resist. They live when they would otherwise die. So that's great. But breaking genes to resist malaria or resist anything is not the same as making things.
Go on.
I was just going to say, and the interesting thing is that Darwin thought the cell was simple. He thought it was a little piece of jelly, like protoplasm. And the big thing about science in the late 20th century is that we've discovered it's filled with sophisticated machines, not just jelly. And so, especially with sophisticated machinery, it's not going to be built by this random type process.
Has anybody ever thought about evolvement to the sense where human beings actually evolve into something else? In other words, if we devolve back enough, far back enough before we were really called humans, you can go back that far usually. What about the future? What is this the end of the evolving process as far as humans and humanity are concerned? What would possibly be in the future millions of years from now?
Well, a lot of people have speculated about it. I've read a few comic books about it myself. But
well, yeah.
If you look at serious scientific stuff, a number of folks are concerned about the rate of bad mutations that are building up. You know, evolution is continuing to happen. But at least one thing that is concerning a number of scientists and it has nothing to do with intelligent design or even evolution, but it's that the population of people has expanded so fast and the society in which we live is pretty cushy, so mutations accumulate that they think would not accumulate in nature, that is, people with them would die. And so mutations are accumulating at a faster rate than they are gotten rid of. And so people worry that, in fact, in the future, humanity will start to go backward,
Interesting.
Become more fragile, less intelligent overall, less, weaker, and so on.
Yeah. Oh, I've definitely seen signs of the less intelligence.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So let's go back to the theory question. Does this new DNA research actually settle the question of how we came to be, or is it not necessarily intended to do that?
Well, it's certainly not intended to do that, but whether it settles it or not will depend, I think, on how open-minded a person is. Some folks don't want any directing force or any teleology to be around. They want the evolution to be completely undirected, but nonetheless, as I write in the book, the evidence is really, really very strong. The elegance and sophistication of the machinery, the molecular machines, literally machines made out of molecules in this cell back a long time ago it was really an ominous sign for Darwin's theory.
Yeah.
And now there's this unexpected problem that just turned up now that the ability to sequence DNA has developed so much, and that is that, in fact, Darwin's mechanism works, but it works by degrading genes. So just like everybody before Darwin thought, you know, the ability of living things to work requires a lot of coordination, and the only process we know of that can coordinate things is intelligence and minds and you know, directing things. It's not randomness. Randomness doesn't care about coordination and can't pull it off in the first place.
Yeah.
So essentially, we're going to go, you know, back to the future or back to the past or something.
Yeah.
That it's pointing to the fact that a mind is necessary to have built life.
Right. If the planet actually exists that long. That's the other side of it. Now, Michael B's last name is B-E-H-E, if you want to Google him. That's the sign. I guess Googling would be the DNA of technology, I suppose. How do you put that?
Something like that. Yeah. And I should say, in case anybody's unaware, is that this is a rather controversial position, mine is. And so you'll see folks who love it when you Google my name and folks that hate it, and not too many in between.
Well, I like that. I like controversy. That's how we figure things out, actually. If we all agreed on everything, we'd kind of be very wrong most of the time. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it's called Darwin Devolves, the new science about DNA that challenges evolution, and available everywhere. Do you have a website, indeed?
Yeah, it's the name of the book, okay. www.darwindevolves.com.
Okay.
So we've collected all the reviews, even the you know, nasty ones, and our responses, and all sorts of stuff. So it's worth a visit.
Very good. I love things that make me think, so this is appetizing to me. Thank you so much for your time today, Michael.
Okay, my pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for your indulgence today. I try at the end of the show, of every show that I do, to thank you, because I think I should, even though I really don't have to. I do this every single weekday. I know. I don't know what's wrong with me either. So please continue to follow this podcast. Go to the Podbean Network or wherever you are listening to this, and there should be some place to subscribe. It doesn't cost any money now. In 10 years, I retro-bill you. It's a fascinating system, but I get away with it all the time. Ladies and gentlemen, you really, seriously, I wish you peace.